Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Derek Oliver, the CEO of Chaos Talk Radio. It is my privilege and honor to present Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary at Faith Tabernacle Church out of Lawrenceville, Georgia. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., you can hear their Bible study right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thursday night at 7 p.m., you can hear their Thursday night praise and worship service led by Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary. And also on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., their praise and worship service right here on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. Also, you can listen to all the services by phone at 845-277-9094. You can also watch them on Facebook Live by going to Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. and every Sunday at 11 a.m.
We fix credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound.
You gotta have faith.
Good evening. Good evening. We are so glad that you decided to join us tonight for our Tuesday night Bible study. We always look forward and anticipate on coming together to study the Word of God together. We want to thank everybody who is joining in on tonight. To begin with, I'm going to do something just a little bit different before I introduce our speaker and our teacher on tonight. I am going to give the information to be able to be a blessing to the ministry through giving an offering. There are two ways that you can give an offering. The only thing that we ask is that you don't give it grudgingly or under compulsion, but that you give it with a cheerful. The first way that you can give is by Cash App. Our Cash App is PTC877. Once again, that is P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877, or you can give by credit card, debit card, or PayPal, and the number to call is 678-760-6056. Once again, that is 678-760-6056, and we just wanted to give you that information in the beginning. Now I'm going to introduce our speaker on tonight, who is our teacher. We know that God is going to use him in a great way. Our speaker is Elder Derek Oliver on tonight. And right before he comes, I just want to lift up a prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you for life and health and strength. We thank you for the ability to be able to have gotten up this morning to breathe and move and have our being, God. But it's only because of your grace and your mercy. We thank you for this teacher on tonight. We pray that you would anoint him, God, to teach your word, to give us a word, God, that we can run on and see what the end is going to be. We pray that you would touch every hearer of the word, that they won't just stop there, but they would also be a doer of the word. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, we give you honor and glory. And I'm going to turn it over to our teacher on tonight, Elder Derek Oliver.
Hey, thank you, Evangelist Stanton. I appreciate it. Giving honor to God who's ahead of my life. Getting a little nervous. Every time I go to speak, I just get nervous. I don't know why. I just do it. I've been doing this for years, but it's just like I get goosebumps. But I feel good in the Lord. I just want to thank everyone for listening. Everyone at Praise Tabernacle who's tuning in either on the phone line or through the internet, I just want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, and hopefully you'll have a blessed Christmas. We know it's not about a man in a red suit, but it's about the birth of Jesus Christ. So hopefully we know the meaning for the season and not just trying to get gifts and all of that kind of stuff. With that being said, I feel good in the Lord. I feel good. I'm ready to go. I'm excited. And I guess that's one of the things about being a preacher is you get excited sometimes. And in teaching, you got to kind of slow yourself down. But I'm going to do something a little different tonight. We're going to talk about, if I was to have a title for tonight, I would use getting Goldilocks out the house. Getting Goldilocks out the house. And I think we're all familiar with the story of Goldilocks and the three bears. And I tried to get the granddaughter to watch the little cartoon, and she just wasn't interested. So I watched it for a few minutes. And because I'm a preacher, it excited me because there's a lot of stuff in there that I can relate to the church of today. And I'm going to use getting rid of Goldilocks. Y'all not going to look at Goldilocks the same after I get done with her tonight. So hopefully I don't offend nobody who likes Goldilocks, but after tonight, so you're not going to look at Goldilocks the same anymore. tonight, I want to take us to a place that I feel in my spirit as we get ready to go into the new year, that I'm not saying everyone, but I know how the devil is attacking me. He wants us to be comfortable, and the Lord don't want us to be comfortable. He doesn't want us to be comfortable. And I'm going to show you in the text. And I'm going to show you in the text, and I'm going to start out tonight out of the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Revelations chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Before I read that, I just want everyone to continue to pray for the pastor. He's getting ready to travel over the holiday weekend, and just keep him and his family lifted up, that they have a safe trip, a great trip, and a safe return. So just keep them lifted up in prayer on tonight. Getting back to my message, getting rid of Goldilocks, getting Goldilocks out the house. We're going to tear Goldilocks up tonight. But we're going to start off in the book of Revelations, third chapter, verses 15 and 16. And I'm going to have my wife read those two verses for me. Revelations chapter 3, verses 15 and 16.
Amen. All right. I'm going to start at verse 15 here. It says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth.
All right. That's where we're going to start at. This is the Lord talking, And he's telling the church he would rather have us hot or cold, but if we're lukewarm, he's going to spew us out of his mouth. That means you ain't got a chance. He either wants you hot or wants you cold. And we're going to talk about being hot and on fire for the Lord. We're going to talk about how do you be hot, how do you be on fire for the Lord. We're going to talk about it. And I'm going to get into it in a few minutes. But I'm going to tell everyone the story of Goldilocks. And you know, you can look at this a few different ways, and there's a few different messages in here. So all you preachers, don't try to steal my stuff, because there's a lot of messages in Goldilocks. Because Goldilocks was privileged. She felt like she was entitled because she went into somebody else's house. It wasn't her house, but she went into someone else's house. And the thing is that I look at this is, didn't no one call the police? Didn't nothing look suspicious about this white girl with blonde hair going into Three Bears' house? Didn't no one say nothing about that? That's not even an issue in the story. But when you break it down, she was going somewhere where she didn't belong. And when she went in there, she was very comfortable in the house. And as she went in the house, the first thing she wanted to do was take a nap. And she got in one bed. The bed was too hard. She got up and tried another bed. It was too soft. She got up, got in the other bed. It was just right. It was comfortable to her. After she took her nap, she got up and wanted something to eat. She went, walked in the kitchen. Now, mind you, this ain't her house. And I'm gonna keep emphasizing it ain't her house. But she sat down at the table and she tried to eat some cream of wheat and it was too hot. So she moved to the next setting. It was too cold. She moved to the next setting. It was just right. And in this, it reminds me of church, because we go in God's house Sunday after Sunday, and we sit down and we go in there, and if the message ain't the right message, we wait until we hear a message that's just for us, that we want to hear. It ain't what God wants us to hear, it's what we want to hear. And then when we go eat his food is what? The word of God. We want it to be just right to fit us. We want it to be comfortable, but it's not our house and it's not our food. So what I'm trying to say is sometimes we want comfortable service. And God never intended us to be comfortable. He never intended us to have it the way we want it. Amen. And Goldilocks was in these people's house, and she had the audacity to pick over the food without washing the dishes. She had the audacity to mess up their beds without making them up. But what she got out of it is what she wanted. She wanted to be comfortable. And another thing is, she went into somebody else's house, and the Three Bears and Goldilocks ain't got nothing in common. And I'm going to say this too, who's coming into your house that you have nothing in common with? She got in the bed with people that she couldn't even sleep with. They had no type of communication. They couldn't talk. They were on two different levels. And the only thing that she could have got from the Bears is warmth. But that's a sermon for another day. I'm not going to mess with that right now. But what I'm trying to say is, we go in God's house and we dictate to him what we want. We dictate to him the comfortabilities of how we want things done. And the Bible says that he doesn't want us. He wants us either hot nor cold, but if we're lukewarm, he's going to spew us out of our mouth. That lukewarmness is comfortability. That lukewarmness is I'm okay. I want it Derek's way, not God's way. It's Derek's will, but not God's will. That's comfortable. And we're all living in a season with COVID hitting in, and we're going into next year. God doesn't want us comfortable. He doesn't want us to have it easy, because he gave us an anointing, and he gave us an anointing to use it, but not to use it in a comfortable situation. Because if it was meant to be comfortable, you could never use your anointing. And you're anointed to do something for the Lord. And whatever that anointing is he has for you, it's hard to deal with folks when you're comfortable. I hope I'm making myself make sense to you. I hope you understand what I'm saying. God's not looking for you to be lukewarm. He's not looking for you to be friends with everybody. He's not looking for you to visit in everybody's house or have everybody in your house because you're on two different levels. I can't have anyone come into my house because they're not talking the same language I'm talking. They're not doing or going the same places I'm trying to go. And what we do is we dummy down and be lukewarm and make them feel comfortable in our house. And then we go to the church and we want the church to make everybody feel comfortable in their sin. And that's not what God intended us to do. We're not supposed to make them feel comfortable. We have the anointing to be able to help them get out of their mess. And sometimes as being human and having the anointing, we don't want to do it, but we got to do it because God is telling us to do it. He's driving us to do it. He's leading us to do it. So that's why we can do it and still be hot. And we'll talk about this hotness too, because you have hotness and you have cold. It takes a lot of stuff to prepare for the cold. You got to get your body temperature right. You got to put the right clothes on. You got to make sure you have layers of clothes on to deal with the coldness. But when you're dealing with the heat, you don't need a whole lot of stuff to go. You don't need a whole lot in order to deal with God and the Lord and where he's trying to lead us to go. Because if you're hot and you're running for the Lord, he prepares you, but you don't need a whole lot. But there's a lot of people that try to say that they want to faint because it's too hot. Oh, it's so hot, I'm going to pass out. Well, you're in that lukewarm state, because when you're hot and you're running for the Lord, he's going to equip you and prepare you, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. I just hope, just keep holding on with me, because I'm going to get to where I'm going in a minute. But he wants us to be hot. He wants us to be on fire for him. He wants us to have that anointing, because when you have the anointing and you're going somewhere with the anointing, it's never comfortable. In all the parables I can use, there was never a comfortable position anybody was in, but they had the anointing. They had to go through the fire in order to get to where they were going. And speaking about the fire, I'm about to go there. We're going to go to Daniel. We're going to go to Daniel, the third chapter of Daniel. And when we get there, I'm going... third chapter, verses 19 and 20. When we get it, third chapter of Daniel, verses 19 and 20. We're going to read that right there.
All right, Daniel 3, 19 and 20. Then Daniel also called, hold on, let me get my glasses. Then Daniel also called Belshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belshazzar answered,
Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, verse 19 and 20.
Sorry, husband, I'm in Daniel 4. Let me go to 3. I apologize, everybody. All right, this says, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. That's 19
and 20. Yeah, that's Daniel chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And we're still talking about getting rid of Goldilocks. Goldilocks comes into the house and wants comfortability. Goldilocks comes into the house that doesn't even belong to her. Goldilocks brings that lukewarm mentality around the saints. And if we're not careful, we'll grab on to that lukewarm mentality or that cold mentality, which the Lord will spew out of his mouth. and we're going 2021. We want to be on fire for the Lord, and we want to take our anointing, whatever the Lord has given us, to the fiery furnace. And I'm going to Daniel, because we all know the story of the three Hebrew boys and Nezakareza. Nezakareza, I'm going to use, was the president, and he presented a law that and he made these statues first. He made the statues, we all know, and he wanted everyone to worship the statues. When the music played, he wanted everyone to bow down and worship those statues. And I have a question about that. And when you get a chance, read Daniel, the third chapter, you'll see what I'm talking about, when he wanted them to bow down and worship the statues. And the three Hebrew boys did not bow down. And someone told the pastor, Nezakareza, they didn't bow. Now, I have a question right here. If when the music was to be played and everyone was to bow down, how did they know that the three Hebrew boys wasn't bowing down? See, here comes that Goldilocks mentality. Because when we're supposed to worshiping, when we're supposed to worshiping, we're not supposed to be looking around and see who's not worshiping. And what happens with the church when we come in to worship, we look at everybody else because we have that lukewarm mentality to see what everybody else is doing, and we don't have no communication with the Lord. And see, that's why the church is weak, because we're looking around for everybody else to see what everybody else is doing. But when he anointed you to do what he called you to do, and for you to bow down and worship him, we want to look at everybody else. But this king here, wanted these boys, because they didn't follow his command, because they didn't want to worship false gods. They didn't want to worship what he was worshiping, because they knew who the true Lord and Savior was. So what they decided to do was not to bow down, and someone saw them. Now, it perplexes me. That's why I don't deal with other religions, because other religions, you can do what you want to do and still be okay. But when you're serving a true God, like we serve, a living God, when you go to worship him, you ain't got time to see what other people are doing. That's why I like it when Goldilocks went into the house, she went in and wanted to be lukewarm. And I like the Hebrew boys, because when they were bowing, that they didn't bow down, but someone saw them that didn't bow down either. I wonder why they wasn't cast into the furnace that told on them. Because in order for them to see the Hebrew boys didn't bow, they didn't bow. So what kind of religion is that, when you wanted someone to bow, but they didn't bow? But you see, that's that man-made religion. They had a pass not to bow and tell these boys to go. And but see, God doesn't do that. When you praise and worship him, you worship him in spirit and in truth. You're not looking around. I can't look at Elder Blewett and see what he ain't doing and what he is doing, because that's taking my eyes off the Lord from myself, and I'm missing what the Lord is trying to tell me, because I'm too busy looking at him, worship and praise God. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. We can find out all the issues and wrong with the church because we're looking for it instead of looking at the Lord. So when they bowed down and they said to put them in the fiery furnace, I got some points I want to make here. I wonder this question. Why did Nezakareza, did you have a comment?
I did.
Go ahead.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're doing wonderful, man. I did have a comment. I'm sorry. I kind of want to go back.
No. I'm glad you did. Go ahead.
Your other scriptures being neither hot nor cold. I'm thinking about Goldilocks. The story is she began to walk in the forest. So my first question to everyone on tonight is, what are you looking for? What are you searching for? Because her walk in the forest, she walked so long that she began to be tired and hungry. So I think on our walk, number one, what is it that you're searching for? Where are you going out to search for that? If you're on a search for Christ, that shouldn't take you to a forest, okay? Well, it may take you to a forest, but you have to be careful because the enemy knows what you're looking for because you may have verbally said it. So you have to be careful of what you're searching for. And when you're going out on your search, are you by yourself? Have you told anybody that you're looking for Christ? Have you told anybody that you've decided to change your life? Have you told anybody? Because if you haven't, if you're just going out on a secret mission, you may end up in the forest, tired and hungry. That may bring you to a house that you don't need to be at. So you need to be careful what you're searching for. And then when Goldilocks got to the house and she knocked on the door and like, what you looking for? You know, what did she expect to find? Even though the house was, there was nobody there, she felt comfortable enough to go in and begin to taste the food. So are you comfortable enough in your sin that you're willing to go in and just get a taste of anything? Are you that comfortable in your sin that you just want a taste of anything? So we have to be careful. I often tell people, look at the characteristics of something to see if it's like God. Because especially if you're searching, if it has confusion, if it has doubt, if it has worry, if there's no peace in it, then that's not like God. You need to move on. But if there's peace in it, if there's joy in it, if there's patience in it, then you're on the right road. So be careful of what you're searching for. You can go ahead, Elder. Thank you, sir.
Amen. Amen. Elder Bluett, you want to add anything?
Man. That's both of y'all are teaching good tonight. No, I'm good. I'm enjoying this. I really am.
Okay. In verse Daniel 19, we see that the king gets mad and he ties them up. He ties their hands up, ties their feet up, and he throws them into the fiery furnace. And the thing that I missed until I was reading this today, I've been preaching this for a long time, I always forget that their hands was tied up and their feet was tied up. And when they opened the furnace door, there was only one way in and one way out. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace. So when they were thrown in there, they were thrown in. They didn't land on their feet. Okay, I'm going to say that again. When they were thrown in there, they didn't land on their feet. And a lot of times, as Christians, when we go through the fire, our hands and feet are tied up. But we still have the anointing, and we still have the power. And even though we're thrown into the fiery furnace, and they turned it up seven times harder when he threw them in there, and when they went to check on them, it says that they were walking around.
Yes, sir.
And that's the shout. Because when you get tied down and you get burdened down and you get ready to go into the fire with the Lord and you have his anointing, when you get thrown in there, he's going to stand you up in the fire. And not only is he going to stand you up in the fire, but the stuff that's been tying you down, he's going to remove it from you. And that's the shout of the night. When you get thrown in the fire and you're running with the Lord and you're praising the Lord and you're worshiping the Lord, even though you're tied down, even though you're tired, even though it seems like you're losing everything, when you get thrown in there, not only will he show up with you, but he will unloosen what's been tying you down. He will unloosen the feet so you can stand up and not be laid down, that you can stand up and walk around in the fire. I know that's that makes me want to shout right there, but I got to slow down because the Hebrew boys, when they got thrown in there, and I do my studying, and if I'm wrong, I know I will get corrected, but they were between the ages of 14 and 17. And they were,
they were young.
They were young. And then I wonder, why did Nebuchadnezzar get his strongest men to put them in there? These is young boys. Why did he need his strongest men to put them in the furnace? And, you know, I think about this, and the Lord gives me something about that, because I was asking the question, well, why did he use his strongest men to put these young boys into the furnace? And then it came to me that the enemy don't want, he doesn't want to attack the presence, but he's going to attack your potential. See, right now, whatever you're going through right now, he really don't care about what you're going through right now. But they had the potential to be mighty men of God. They had the potential to do great things in the Lord. And that's why he had to get his strongest men to throw them into the furnace and tie them up and throw them in the furnace, because he knew that he wasn't going on their presence, but he was going on their potential. And the potential that God has for us, if we really think about what's going on, there's no more normalcy that we used to have. There's no, everything that we used to know about life has changed over this year. And going into next year, he's not caring about what's going on now, but because of our potential. And if you have the anointing of God, and if you have the presence, and if you have the power, and if you have the vision of God, that's what the devil is going to attack. He don't care about you right now, but if he's attacking you so hard, he wants to throw you in the fire based on your potential, not on the presence.
Good.
Because the presence right now, you know, everyone's going through all it. And if you, and if you keep showing that you can go in the fire, that's why he wants to try to put you in there. And one thing about the fire, that's, and if we're believers, the fire can't hurt a believer, because the fire helps us. It strengthens us. It makes us as pure gold. The fire, the dumbest thing they did was put them in the fire. What they should have did is put them in a cold cellar, and they probably would have had a little bit more success putting them in the cold. But he put them in the fire. And when he put them in the fire, watch what happens. He puts them in the fire, and he say, go check on the boys. And when they go check on them, look what happens. The guy that's checking on them records that they were walking around. And not only were they walking around, but it seemed like the fire didn't do nothing to them. And then he says that there seemed like there's a fourth one, and he looks like the Son of God. That's what the book says.
Mm-hmm.
And in my question, and I'm not the most smartest man in the world, but I do know, I've been to a lot of Bible schools and Sunday schools. Jesus, this is Daniel. Jesus isn't mentioned until Isaiah. And he didn't come onto the scene until Matthew. How did he know that was Jesus when he never seen Jesus before? What I'm trying to say to you is, when the Hebrews got boys got up, and he took the ropes off of them and everything, and you seen it, he will show up right then and there in your present circumstances. And everybody know that that's him. Even though you look like you've been beat up by life, even though you've been struggling, Jesus will show up when people think that you don't talk to Jesus. But you went in the fire for him, and he will show up. Have you ever had a moment in your life where you seemed like you just wasn't doing nothing right, and Jesus showed up, and people gave you that awe look? Well, how did you do that? Like, you don't know Jesus. Like, Jesus ain't supposed to talk to you because of the state that you was in, and they thought that you was out for the count because you was burning up in the fire because you was hot. You looked like you was weak, but you hung in there. And for some miraculous reason, Jesus turned your situation around, and people started looking at you like you're crazy. This is what happened right here. They didn't know nothing about Jesus, but he said it looks like the Son of God. When he shows up, he's going to let everybody know who he is based upon the situation you're in. And if you're in a fiery furnace right now, and people talking about you and people dogging you, and you wondering how you're going to make it to the next day, and you keep on praying to Jesus, everyone's going to know when you come up out of there and you don't smell like smoke. You ain't got no burnt marks on you. Not a hair on you is out of place. They're going to know it was Jesus. They're going to know it was Jesus. And all I'm trying to tell you, tonight is, and before we get ready for Christmas and we get ready to go into the new year, I understand it may be a hot situation you may be in. All you got to do is keep reminding yourself who you're serving. As long as you keep serving Jesus, as long as you keep saying Jesus, he's going to loosen everything up in the fire. I understand we went through Corona. We had testimony service yesterday. If you heard the testimony, some of them testimonies, it seemed like they was in a doomed situation. But some miraculous way, Jesus showed up. You can't tell me Jesus didn't show up in a lot of those people's situations. Regardless whether they were right, wrong, or indifferent, they were still leaning unto Jesus. And he showed up, and he turned their situation around just like that. What I'm trying to say is we have a Goldilocks mentality where we want to be comfortable. We don't want to go in the furnace. We want the temperature set where it's cool for us. But if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to get hot sometime. You're going to have to go through some fire sometime. You're going to have to to be able to when you get thrown in there, to watch him take all that stuff off of you. I don't know about you, but I thought about this for a minute. When the pandemic hit, it looked like it was gloom and doom. But I still got my joy. I still got my peace. And if you even look at me, I even gained a few pounds because the Lord was continuing to bless me. I may not have a perfect day every day, but when I was in the fire, the Lord continued to bless me. Anyone got anything
that's
right
good.
Now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I think you had mentioned about Nebuchadnezzar when he had got his mighty men to bound the boys, right? So
right.
If we go back to verse 19, where it says, "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against them." So if we got to be careful how mad we get. We got to be careful how we have so much hatred towards somebody or someone that it would change our outcome, that it would change how we would normally treat people. So the king was so pissed off, and excuse my word, but he was so pissed off that on these boys that you mentioned that were young boys, because they were young boys, why would he have to get his mighty men, his strong men, the strongest one throughout his kingdom to bind three boys, right? And it's because of the processing of his temper, the processing of his thinking, and how mad he was because they would not worship the God that he built. So we have to be careful how we get mad at folk and how folk not doing what we think they supposed to be doing in our daily walk, especially in these times, in this COVID situation, how we think people should be the God, be the church walking around, or we think people should be something that they're not. A lot of folk come to church to change. And they may not have gotten to where we are or where somebody is at the point. So we got to be careful. Our temperance toward people can have an outcome that we can never take back.
Amen. 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 Evangelist Stanton, you have anything you want to add?
No, I'm just enjoying that. That was good what Elder just said, you know, about being careful. You know, you don't like if somebody come at you, you don't have to respond the same way that they're coming at you. You know, a lot of times, you know, it may even be in your family or friend or coworker, and if you feel that somebody came at you in a bad way, you feel like you need to retaliate with your words or with your actions immediately. It takes a great person to just be still and be quiet, because we're not supposed to look like the world. We're not supposed to do the same things as the world. Now, don't get me wrong. You can get angry. That can happen. But watch what you say. And
amen.
Then that, take that to God in prayer. Take that to God in prayer. That's very important. Great teaching on tonight, Elder. Thank you.
And I just want to say this because it's the truth of what you just said. I had an incident happen Saturday, and me and my wife took the kids and grandkids to the lights in Stone Mountain. And one of the grandkids wasn't going, and my wife called to see why the one grandbaby wasn't going. Maybe I'm giving too much information, but I just want everyone to see how, even though Elder Oliver can get upset and what I did. And this is why I love Praise Tabernacle. So as my wife was having a conversation with this individual why the grandbaby couldn't go, they were getting very nasty and very rude. We ended up getting the grandbaby going, but I didn't like the way that that person talked to my wife. It bothered me. We went to the light, had a nice time. We went, and that night I told my wife, I got to say, I cannot let that go. And I swear to you, that night when I went to bed, before I went to bed, Elder Bluette, I watched some Sanford and Son, I watched some Jefferson, and I listened to some Richard Pryor. Because I wanted to get my insults. I was getting ready, and I was ready. I was on. I woke up. I couldn't wait to make this phone call. And I went to church. And when I heard First Lady talking, one of the first things she said was, we have to forgive people who come at us the wrong way. And I'm sitting there. Now, she don't no one know anything about this conversation. And she was talking about forgiving people, even though they come at us wrong, we have to be the bigger person. We can't get that angry that we act like they act. Now, I'm sitting here and I'm listening. It's like I was called to the principal office Sunday morning. And as she was preaching to me, like, well, nobody else there. And the first thing I said to my wife in the car, I guess I can't make that phone call. And exactly, I couldn't make the phone. I was going to. And had it been a different message, had it been something different, you see where I would have went. But when you're in tune with God and you have a relationship, he's going to check you. I didn't need no one else to check me. He allowed me to have a little bit of moment to look at all that. But at the end of the day, right before, he came right up to me and said, you can't do this. There's a better way, and let him handle the situation because he can handle it better than me. We are human. We do get upset. We got to allow the Lord to fight all of our battles. And not only do we got to allow him to fight our battles, but we also have to be able to go into the firmament. And see, what happens is we want to be comfortable and we want everything comfortable. And I can't stress this enough. Nezakareza set a law and told everybody when the music plays to bow down. And if you don't bow down, you got to go into the fiery furnace. Now, the one way I know that the Hebrew boys were the black because they were found guilty without even having a trial. There was no trial for them. They just said they did not bow. They didn't act, and they threw them in the furnace, and they got a life sentence. Well, a lot of times we're living where sometimes people will put us in the furnace, and we don't think we deserve to be there. But if you're serving Christ, you got to remember we got to suffer something. Just because you go to church every Sunday don't mean you're not going to suffer. Just because you go to church every Sunday doesn't mean it's not going to get you're going to get in a hot situation. That's what we were built for. That's why we have the anointing on us at certain times, is to get us through the fiery furnace. You're going to have some days where it gets hot. You're going to have some days where it don't look right. You're going to have some days where it's not comfortable. But at the end of the day, if you're living with the Lord, he's going to show up, and he's going to loose all those things that have been bounding you up, all that anger you got, all that frustration you have because you don't have a job, or all that stuff that's going on in your family that's stressing you out. He's gonna clean all that up. It's not up to us. He's going to do it. You just got to go through the fire. And going through the fire, you got to know how to give him the praise and worship him while you're in the fire. And when you worship him in the fire, you will worship him in spirit and truth. You're not looking around at everybody else. If I'm too busy looking at Elder Bluette or Evangelist Stanton, I'm looking too much at what they're doing. And then I won't see some fault, because if you look long enough, you're going to find something wrong with me. I don't know about anybody else, but if you look at me long enough, there's going to be something you ain't going to like. And then what people do, they take what they don't like about me and they want to gossip about it. And then I get mad about what they're talking about me. And then I want to stoop to that level and talk about them. And see, now we got nothing but confusion going on in the church. So when you go to church on Sunday, I'm just trying to tell you, when you go there, I understand that you're in a hot situation. I understand it's hard to do certain things. But when you go there, if you worship in spirit and in truth, you will hear from God. And once you hear from God, he will set you loose. He will set you free. And as the Hebrew boys came out of the fire, as they came out, and you got to understand, there was only one way in, one way out. When they opened the door, there's some men that got burned up because it was that hot. But they came out.
Yeah,
they didn't smell like smoke. They didn't have no burn marks on them. They came out as if it was nothing. So what I'm saying to you is, if you go in the fire and you're suffering, when you come out, you're going to come out like you ain't even been in the fire. People going to look at you and they'll say, how did you do that? And that's when you can give all the glory and the praise to the Lord, because they're going to know that you should have came out with some type of burns. You should have came out with some type of sickness. You shouldn't even made it out. Something should be wrong with you, because you came out the same way you went in, but you have a better rapport because you can give God the glory and the praise, and everyone know it was God and glory. And that's basically what I got for everyone tonight. But if you have a Goldilocks mentality, you want comfortable. You want the temperature just right. You want your food just right. Every time an elder or an evangelist teach, you want to hear certain things that's going to tickle your fancy. But if they teach you something that's going to hit close to home, you want to start looking up, what's in their closet? Well, how can Elder Oliver preach this and he got this? Now, you all up in my business and not worried about your business. And furthermore, you're not even looking at the Christ. You're looking at everything else but him. And he can't help you if you're not looking at him based on the first scripture that we read. He'd rather have you hot or cold. Or if you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't go to church looking at issues with everybody and thinking that you're okay, because you ain't even accepted him. Because if you accepted him, when you're in his presence, you're going to look up to him. See, there's something about the presence of the Lord that does something. I don't know about anybody else, but when you're in the presence of God, it does something to me. It makes me act different. It makes me walk different. It makes me look at people different when I'm in the presence of the Lord. Because when I'm in his presence, I'm in his power. And when I'm in his power, I'm in his provision. And when you have all that with you, you can't see nothing but God. When I look at Elder Blewett, I don't see Elder Blewett. I see the Christ in Elder Blewett. So when I'm looking at him, I see the Christ in him. And he should see the Christ in me. It shouldn't be, well, Brother Derek got this and this and this wrong with him. But see, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. We want to look at our issues. And we want to tell people how to fix their issues. It's not my job to tell Evangelist Stanton how to fix anything. It's not my job. I can't tell her how to fix nothing. That's only between her and her Savior. They got that relationship. I ain't got nothing to do with that. But that's what we want to do. We want to tell everyone how to fix their relationships. The only thing we can tell people to do is look unto Jesus for all understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go in the fire, because you're going in the fire, if you don't know nothing else, you're going to go in the fire. But you're going to come out as pure gold. Trust me on that. Anyone got anything else they want to add?
I do, Elder. I know you didn't go to this exact verse in this scriptures. Verse 25, I just saw something. It says, he answered and said, that's Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, when you were talking about when he saw four men. It says, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the, I just saw the three promises that God gave us when we're in the fire. Number one, you're going to be loose. Number two, you're going to be able to walk around in the midst of the fire. And number three, you ain't going to have no hurt. I'll say that again. You're going to be loose. You're going to be able to walk around in the midst of the fire, and you're not going to have any hurt. And the only way that you're going to be able to do that when you're in the middle of the fire is through praise and worship, through prayer, and through studying the Word of God, because then that fourth man is going to be with you. You can't do in the natural what needs to be done in the spiritual. You can't answer with a natural reaction. Let me just say that one more time.
Yeah.
Not answer a spiritual question with a natural reaction. You have got to go into the spiritual realm through praise and worship, reading the Word of God, and prayer. That way, you will be loosed even in the middle of the fire. You're going to be able to walk around. You're going to be able to get up, get dressed, go to work, go to the store, go to church, whatever you need to do, even though you are going through. And you're not going to have any hurt. God is going to bring you out victorious. That's all I have to say.
Hey, amen. I'm going to teach that. Loose walking hurt. Elder Blair, you want anything you want to add?
Yeah, man. This chapter is, I mean, just like she did, we can go to several verses in this chapter, but verse 17, verse 18, where the boys, you know, God can save us, but if he don't, they're good, right? So
right.
If you go to verse 21, I think you was talking about, I don't remember how you put it, about us being protected or going in the fire or whatever, or being prayed up, or being worshiped up, always have God on our mind. But if we go to verse 21 of Daniel 3, verse 21, where it says, then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then when you picture, and if you go into verse 22, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the fire and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the of fire slew those men that were that took them up or that cast them in. So if we're studying our word, if we're giving God praise, if we're having our mind stay on God, trying to reference God in the things we do daily, and it's hard to do sometimes, but just trying to do that as much as we can, it don't matter about the danger that comes around us, or it doesn't matter that the danger that people try to put us in, saying trying to rob us or try whatever harm us in some kind of way, because we have built up a relationship in God that to be His child, that if anything happens to us, He got us. So when they bound, and they didn't know they were doing this, when they bound the men in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments. So when they got to the mouth of the fiery furnace, it was exceedingly hot because the king's rage and his fury wanted it heated more than it should have been. The men, the mighty men, when they got close to the lip of it, they had to drop the boys down in it because they died instantly from the flame. So they didn't even know they were protecting the kids from the flame, from the mouth of the flame, before they even got to the bottom of the furnace. So these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments. So the king didn't even know that he was protecting the boys and killed his mighty men. And that's how they were able to get through it first, if y'all understand what I'm saying. So the more that we learn, the more that we study the Word of God, the more that we believe in the Word of God, the more that we retain in our subconscious of our studies and what we read, the more power we have against any fiery dart of the devil, the more armor we have
to be protected from the things outside of us, the things that approach us. So these three Hebrew boys, they was well prepared, but they were prepared by their enemies in their clothes and bound so that they were protected from the flame. But that's it. We can go on all night about that, but go ahead.
That's good. That is good because, you know, they're saying that, you know, what people use to try to hurt, when they try to hurt you, he'll use it for his glory. And when they tried to turn it up and his own men got burned up and it protected them, like you were saying, that's the way the Lord works. And sometimes, you know, people will try to do stuff to us and it won't never work. It will never work. If you're a child of God, it won't work. And I just want everyone to know tonight, you know, I don't want to harp on it being we're living in a hard time, but it really is because we've never been here before. What our new normal is what's normal to us is not no more. We don't know if we ever go back to that normal. We don't know. But one thing that we do know is that the Word of God never changes. You know, it's the same yesterday, today, and for tomorrow. It will never change. It will always be here with us. And I just want people to know that if you're in the fire, if you feel like you're in the fire, you're all right because you're getting ready to come out. And when they came out of the fire, there were no implications that they were even in the fiery furnace. They came out just as clean and without one mark on them. And like Evangelist Stan was saying, they were walking around in the fire. They were loose in the fire. They was walking around in the fire, and they didn't have no more hurt in the fire. When you see someone that's delivered and you wonder why they shouting and why they praising the way they praising, they may still be in the furnace. They just walking around, and they know that they've been loose, and there's no more hurt. That's what she's talking about.
Yeah.
When you see people praising and worshiping God, I'm talking about true believers now, who's not worried about you or this, that, or the other, that's praising him. A lot of us are in the fiery furnace right now. We just don't look like what we've been through because we're walking with Jesus. And when we walk with Jesus, it's a different type of walk. It's a different type of talk. When you know you got Jesus on your side, he's right there with you. Because can't no one bother you. Can't no one bother you. And can't no one mess with you. Can't no one hurt you when you're walking with the Father. I'm not saying every day is going to be a good day, but when you're walking with the Father, You pretty much gotta prep in your step, and that's really what I wanted to bring out, and with the story of Goldilocks, you know, messing around with my granddad. I'm a spiritual person. I try to take everything spiritual, and when I looked at Goldilocks, I won't never look at her the same. But Evangelist Stanton got me looking at that a little. I might roll up on that for a little bit, but no, I just never thought that. I can get that out of that. But even myself have a Goldilocks mentality because I want to be comfortable. You know, it's been a little cold here in Georgia, and everyone complaining about the cold and this, that, and the other. And the Lord don't want us comfortable. He wants us to be uncomfortable. Because if we were comfortable in everything that we're doing, we wouldn't be able to have the anointing, his anointing on us to be able to use it when we needed it, if everything was supposed to be comfortable. So I want to be able to be what God wants me to be and be able to use what he wants me to use. And that's the reason they tried to tie their hands and feet up, because the devil didn't want him to use what God wanted them to use. But when you bind us up, you know, the Lord will take it off of you. And that's really all I got. I hope everyone got something out of the message. I hope you learned something. I know I've learned a lot. And I just want to thank Evangelist Stan and Elder Bouette for helping me tonight. Y'all always bring something out to make me want to look at something and go search a little bit deeper. That's why I love Praise Tabernacle, because you're taking me to another level. And it's not that level of pretend church. It's that level of trying to make my relationship better with Christ. I love Tuesday night Bible study. Whether I'm teaching, whether I'm not, I'm still learning. And when you're learning the Word of God, you get closer and closer to Jesus. And that's all I got. I'm going to ask Elder Bluette to take us home. If y'all don't have anything else to add, I'm sorry.
Huh?
If y'all don't have anything else to add, I'm going to ask you to take us home.
All right. Pastor Stetton, you got anything you want to add?
No, great lesson tonight, Elder. Thank you. It's just a reminder to all of us that when God is on your side, you can make it through. And anybody that's listening on tonight who don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, we would encourage you to come to know who this Jesus is that can help you in this fire. Because you can have the fullness of his peace in the middle of your going through, and there's nothing like it. Thank you, Elder. I appreciate it.
Amen. 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 Great lesson tonight. Third chapter of Daniel is very, very interesting, too, and we can relate that to our lives now. But great, great teaching, great lesson. We have to be, God wants us to be hot or either cold. He needs us to be either or, but that lukewarm, he just cannot stand. And I'm pretty much the same way. But great lesson. And may God restore the virtue in you that you have given to us. Father God, we thank you for this lesson. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your living word comments that helped the lesson tonight. We thank you that we had ears willing to hear. And I hope that all who have heard the lesson tonight have a change of mind, that we're nothing without God, but in him we are everything. Father God, before we leave tonight, I ask that you bless everyone under the sound of my voice with the strength to carry through the rest of this year. And we look forward for an even better year next year. Every year is a good year. We look for an even better year next year. Bless the families who have lost a loved one. Strengthen them. Encourage them to keep on moving in your name, in the name of Jesus. And before we leave, we always quote these two scriptures, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, where it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Have a blessed night.
Amen. Thank you.